This is a Talking Digital production. Find more great podcasts at talkingdigital.org.
Well, I guess if I go through Salt Lake, I can always go to In-N-Out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, actually, there are In-N-Outs all over Utah now. I couldn't believe how many we saw.
They've really expanded that franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've all been pretty consistent. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been happy with them. Yeah.
Hopefully they're using different meat than Taco Bell.
I don't care. That's what I was thinking the other day. I was like,
Did you read about that?
Yeah, I did, but it's another one of those things where I like Taco Bell, and if they changed it, I probably wouldn't like it as much, so I'm okay with their soy meal stuff, if that's what they're using, whatever it is.
Flour.
I'm okay with that. It's, you know, I mean, that, and their stuff's cheap. Don't raise the prices on me. That's my $5 box there at Taco
100%
Bell.
100% ground sirloin?
Yeah. I don't care what's in it. I just want the, you know, I like the food, and it's, you know, I don't know. I'm okay. It's organic, right?
It's organic. Hey, I have a favorite on Twitter. I haven't watched it. I was going to watch it last night. And sitting in the Talking Digital Studios here, Leo Laporte.
You're never going to get invited on his show if you do that.
He posted a video earlier in the week. Says, just posted video of the new Twit Studios. First
new ones?
Yes.
New ones?
New ones.
What are you going to do with your old ones, Leo?
Yeah, Mr. Laporte.
Come on. So, gee whiz. I think he was jealous. He heard I built new studios, and then he was like, I'm going to build new studios, too.
If at Talking Digital can have studios, I can, too.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and let people know what they're listening to. Welcome to Castellini on Computers, our show where we talk about technology, answer email questions. We've been doing this for quite a few years now and really enjoy it. And so what you're hearing is only a small part of a continuing saga. So if you'd like, go back and listen to some of the past shows and for the full Castellini on Computers experience. You can find all the information we talk about, or some of it, a good amount of it, on the internet.
Your intros aren't any better than
specifically,
mine.
Specifically, you'll find us at helpmerick.com. That's Rick Castellini's website. And then, of course, the podcast
things.
Yeah, one of those web things where they put stuff. And then also the podcast network is talkingdigital.org. And that's where you'll find all this stuff.
Yep. And you can find Adam at Talking Digital.
And I'm at Talking Digital on Twitter, and Rick is at Talking Digital on Twitter.
No, I'm at Help Me Rick.
No, I'm sorry. You're at Help Me Rick on Twitter. I was trying to overplug myself.
Maybe I should have brought Yusuf Goffin.
Maybe. Who knows? All right. Well, good deal.
Do you have a Zag on your iPad?
Yeah. Okay. Not a Zag screen protector.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Okay.
I've thought about it.
Yeah, because the only thing I can say about Zag,
yes,
because I agree with you that the glass is pretty tough and not scratch. But it does have a lot less fingerprints.
The Zag
does? Don't you think?
The Zag has less?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Zag is... that when you get this gloss...
I'm looking at Adam's iPad.
I got to tell you...
It's got a whole film on it right now.
I know, and this takes about 5 minutes to get this much
up. Well, you always have very sticky hands.
I do.
Your hands are very...
I'm very...
mushy, sticky. Yeah.
It's because they're pudgy, like little fingers. Vienna sausages. But yeah, you know... I don't understand the glossy screen.
I don't either.
I never have.
I don't understand
the glossy screen. People say it's more contrasty for photos, blah, blah, blah. Well, it doesn't matter how contrasty it is if I'm looking at my face in it all the time.
That's right.
I'd rather have it less contrasty and not see me. I don't want a mirror.
If I wanted a giant vanity mirror, I'd buy a giant vanity mirror.
It really is. Literally, it's a mirror.
It is.
I mean, you can really see. Anyway, so I have these wipes that I use for it every once in a while, and...
Maybe they're in cahoots with big wipes.
It's just nasty. Yeah, it's just nasty. Big wipes.
Don't you think?
It could be.
All right.
Wasn't that mentioned in the State of the Union this week, the breaking up big wipes?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, you didn't watch it? You would have liked it, actually.
Would I have liked it?
I didn't mind it. The cool thing...
I forgot about it.
Here's one thing I thought was interesting.
Okay.
The president, in his State of the Union, which I don't think this has ever happened before, mentioned... getting the internet out to like 98% of all humans in the country.
Okay.
Getting broadband wireless to everybody.
Wow.
So, I mean, he talked about last mile stuff. He talked about the things that are keeping the internet from you know, spreading and reaching others, and which kind of I'm worried is kind of a, it could be interpreted as a way of putting a wedge in and opening up a dialogue on, you know, ending net neutrality or adjusting net neutrality. I mean, it could be taken by either side. One side, certainly the net neutrality side, could say, see, the president says we need to spread more and we can't do that without
doing this,
without net neutrality. But then at the other side, it could be businesses could say, well, what do you expect? How are we supposed to continue to expand our service if we're not getting paid for it?
Did you read last week where who's NBC is taking over Comcast?
Yes.
Or what is, or
yeah, that's
merging,
right,
or something? Uh-huh. And part of the agreement that the FCC has, and this could be tied in directly to the comments you just commented on, part of the FCC agreement is that they will approve the merger.
Right.
If Comcast, well, which would be NBC,
right,
will provide low-income families with a computer.
No way.
And, yes, this with a computer and or a tablet like an iPad.
Right.
For $200 or less.
Okay.
And provide them broadband internet at $5 or less per month. And it's a certain percentage. I forgot what the whole realm of it is, but in certain markets, in order to help bridge the digital divide, they want you to do that. They want them to do that.
I can see that. Yeah.
So that's
what do you think?
I don't know. I'm just, again, I'm never for entitlement. I never am. Subsidized. I think there is. I think there's a place for subsidized conveniences and services of any kind.
Yeah. Right.
But at this juncture, you know my stance on libraries. Mm-hmm. My stance is that libraries is what we are currently paying for in both private and the public sector, where you have access to anything you want at a library.
Exactly.
Every community has a library.
And I'm all for libraries.
Exactly. Every community has a library. Well, my big thing on libraries, since we brought it up, is that I think that the libraries in their current form, and they are changing, but we can't, I think in this current age of iPads and electronic communication and electronic digestion of communication, that there's no need to build bigger libraries.
Yeah.
I think we need to make libraries more digital. And if you go into any library in any community, the busiest place is always, always, besides the bathroom, is always the computer area.
Yeah.
And there's always a sign-up list to you to sign up and get on the computer.
Right.
So my idea is don't build larger libraries because no one's checking out the books.
Right.
Or they're not. It's not growing.
I think it's a fluctuating thing because I do think that there's, as people become more digital, they become more aware that not everything is on the internet.
Right.
And so they go to the library to see, or they realize. I think libraries are starting to increase in popularity too as they start carrying things like DVD movies and things like that.
Right.
It's not the books that are drawing people to the library; it's all the other services, like and that may
books
go
on tape.
To what you're talking about, books on CD, books on tape. Mm-hmm. Even now, you can check out little MP3 players with books preloaded on them. So I think things like that are the direction that the library needs to take if they're going to.
And those are all
materials.
Small. They take up a lot of smaller footprint.
Right.
And so your big gigantic magazine area, and for sure your reference area.
Oh yeah.
With encyclopedias and things like that can be scaled back. Because I still who doesn't like really thumbing through an encyclopedia? But let's face it, encyclopedias are expensive, they take a lot of room, and they're always outdated.
Right.
You know, no matter what.
And if the library can have a subscription to Britannica, is Britannica.com, is that their website? I mean, if they can have that subscription.
Is that still subscription rate?
Probably. Well, it is, but if the library has a subscription to it, one of them is. I think it's Britannica. I can't remember, and I'm not going to stop to look it up right now.
Yeah, me neither.
Because we know that our listeners have the internet.
They should. They should.
So go check it out, people.
Unless they're checking us out at their library on their own MP3 player. Because libraries could be loading us on an MP3 player.
Yeah, they could.
They should be.
Absolutely.
Librarians, get on that.
Absolutely. Anyway, but, you know, the libraries have, in fact, the libraries have access to LexisNexis and all those things. Mm-hmm. Why do you
You don't need a big magazine section.
No.
And a newspaper section.
No.
You know, keep a few, which is fine.
Yeah.
For the people that want to sit there and read, but that's
sure.
Okay. But I think that open up double or triple your terminals so that the people that are coming there that want to consume their information that way, and for your low-income people that don't have computers in their home.
Sure.
But I will say that I do see a fair amount of low-income people that have computers in their home.
I do too.
It's not a technology that people are not buying because they don't have enough income for
right.
it. It's they choose to use their income for other things.
Yeah, exactly.
In a lot of cases.
Good point.
In a lot of cases.
Yeah, exactly. And
this is not a global thing.
You can't make a blanket statement and say, without getting too much into the economy and politics, a lot of people are complaining now because Grand Junction, where we do the broadcast from, is proposing, maybe it's the county, I forget, the school district at least, is proposing that they're only going to be able to do, they've been doing free breakfasts
right.
for,
that's
for
statewide.
Students. Statewide. Is it statewide? Okay.
Colorado State.
They've been doing free breakfasts for low-income kids who can't right. afford breakfast. They're going to raise that to 30 cents.
30 cents. That's what the proposal was.
Yeah. And people are, boy, they're complaining. Mm-hmm. There's so many people who can't afford the 30 cents and can't go without breakfast. I know a lot of these people. I'm not saying everyone. So please be careful here. I'm not saying everyone. So if you're not one of these people, I'm not talking to you. But the ones I do know, how much does a pack of cigarettes cost?
That was my comment.
A pack of cigarettes is 1 week's worth of lunch.
More.
Probably more than
it's
one
probably
week's
more.
Worth. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. So
I don't know what a pack of cigarettes costs
five,
right now.
$6, $4,
who
$5.
I don't know.
Let's say it's $4.
Cheap ones maybe are $2.50.
So
knows?
$4 is 12 30 cents lunches.
Yeah.
Actually, it's 14 30 cents lunches.
Yeah.
Or breakfast.
Yeah.
So that's almost 3 weeks.
That's and cable. How much does cable cost? You know,
but you
so
can't
that's
give up cable, Adam.
I know. You're right. I don't expect people to give up their information.
Yeah.
But the cigarettes, maybe. And just one pack. Just one pack. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
And rims.
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 I think there are people who don't get the rims.
Okay. All right.
They just have the new car without the fancy rims. All right. Let's let's get away from politics.
You might have to edit that part out. That's okay.
No.
We always manage to get our libertarian little digs in there.
I'm being funny. I didn't mean to
offend anybody.
Please take it as a joke. If you can watch Jon Stewart and laugh, then you can hear me and laugh too. It's a joke.
Or me.
Or Rick, yeah.
And okay. Laugh at yourselves, for God's sake.
Good grief.
All right, let's answer a couple quick questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
Right off the bat. This one's from Dor. This is the oldest one. I'm going to go oldest to newest today. If I find something interesting that I see in the previews, I'll pull it up quickly, though. This is from Dorothy in Georgia using Windows 7. She's trying to copy pictures from her computer to an SD memory card to get into her digital frame. She understands how to do this, but keeps getting an error message saying, I do not have permission to do this. Help. Well, so apparently she does understand that to get photos from your computer to your SD card or any external memory, you just simply open up a window with both of those drives open, your folder on your pictures and the drive of the SD card on the other side, and you drag between them. If she's getting a permission problem, what I would start by doing is go into my computer, right-click on that SD card and reformat it, and then pull it out after you reformatted it, pull it out with the safe remove, reboot your computer, put it back in, and try again. Because that's the only thing I can think of. If you're using Windows 7, there should be no reason why you can't drag and drop to a SD card.
There is one reason
okay.
I can think of.
Okay.
And it probably doesn't apply to this particular situation, but I have had it a few times where when you slide the SD card in, you accidentally slide the little lock.
Ah,
and
forget about
slide,
the lock.
There's a little lock
is
slide
on SD
cards.
Is it still on all SD cards?
That's what makes it an SD card. Secure digital, so the fact that otherwise it would be called a multimedia.
So
card.
Adam is showing it on the webcam
yeah,
right now.
I'm holding it up to the microphone,
and
but,
so they all still have that.
They still have
I forget
slide.
About
I
that.
I think every one of them does. Yeah, not the little teeny
that
tiny ones that go on your
right
cell phone,
there.
But that could be it.
And I bet if she can't format the drive, mm-hmm. that'll be the why.
Yeah,
because it won't let her format it because
that's what I would check. That little there's a little slide on the side.
Mm-hmm.
It's
towards
an
the
old
bottom,
floppy
right?
disk technology. Well, it's kind of on the side,
but towards the bottom or towards the top.
It depends on which way you're putting in the little side that's missing a corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on the opposite side at the same end.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Yeah, and it's evident once you're in there. And doesn't it even say lock and unlock
on it? It does. It just says lock and unlock on
the
most of
them. I forgot about that. That's almost like the old floppy disk used to have that.
Yeah, and it is nice. Secure floppy disk. It's great for if you're a digital photographer or a wedding photographer and want to make sure that nothing gets locked. You can do that, or nothing gets deleted.
Good call.
Just slide that little lock. So
that's modeled after the SFD.
Yes, it is. It is indeed.
Funny. Good call there. Very good. Hey, that's why it's good to have a digital photography guy around.
Yeah. Thanks. let's see. There was.
Let's see, I got one here from New York. Dave from New York says, how do you edit a PDF and what do I use? Well, I never edit PDFs. And the whole idea of a PDF, which is an Adobe Portable Document Format document, is that you're not supposed to edit them. There are programs that you can edit them. If you have a full version of Adobe Acrobat, the $200 plus version, you can do it. There's also a PDF editor / converter from Nuance, mm-hmm. Nuance. I forget what they call theirs.
Now, is there kind of a way to do that with the Foxit toolbar?
There's a way to fill it in with the Foxit toolbar. Fill in a...
But you're talking about edit.
He said edit.
Oh, okay. If he said edit, then you're kind of stuck.
And Foxit might even have an editor in there.
There is another kind of tweak. Now, again, none of these things are perfect because the only way to do it is with Acrobat.
Right.
And even then, you have to have the same font that they use to create the document and all of that. Another strange thing I just ran across, Google Docs now converts PDFs to Word documents or Excel.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Just straight across when you import it?
When you get a PDF, it asks you if you want to convert that PDF into a Word document.
Wow.
So that's there. Please know that none of these solutions are perfect because PDFs were created not to be edited. That's the whole point of them.
Yeah,
so any solution that tries to allow you to edit them is going to be kind of a reverse engineering thing, and it's never going to work perfect.
Okay. I agree.
All right.
I agree. Okay, we'll do one more quick question before we head into some news. This one is from Ralph in Grand Junction. He just bought himself a new Toshiba laptop that runs Windows 7. He said that he read that I do not any longer recommend the newer, larger, more bloated AVG. Is your current recommendation Microsoft Security Essentials? Yes. That's what I would use for your Windows 7 or Windows Vista.
Yep.
Or if you have a very, very fast, very current Windows XP, the XP version of Security Essentials also works pretty well.
And then is Avast still a second option for people who...
Oh, I agree.
Because we always get people who say, well, I'm using Avast. Is that okay? Yes, Avast is okay.
Don't put them both.
No. Just one or the other.
One or the other.
One or the other. And
Avast will work on Windows 7.
Yeah. Avast or Security Essentials. We prefer Security Essentials because it seems more transparent. It doesn't seem to be doing anything. You know,
stays out of the way. Well,
not getting in the way at all. But for those people who are using Avast, you don't have to take Avast off your computer. You can just keep it on there and ignore our advice about the other one. So that's it.
Now, you had something come up, you said?
Well, I had something interesting right now. That it's in the news quite a bit, especially with the iPhone coming to Verizon. There's a lot of conversations about data plans and all of that.
Right.
And every time one group starts talking about data plans and the costs of that, then everybody starts talking about it. Netflix announced had a very cool statement yesterday, and I don't know if you'd call it an announcement, but a statement yesterday about charging for data by the byte and by the gigabyte.
Okay.
And it talked about, it's a great statement. I was looking for the actual quote and I don't have it here, but it basically was, and they were right on, that charging per gigabyte doesn't make any sense in a digital world. People relate it to electricity and relate it to water.
Right.
Because, you know, however much water you use, you pay more money, or however much electricity you use, you pay more money. Well, gigabytes aren't produced. I mean, there's, as far as the flow, once you build the pipeline, so much can flow through those pipelines that they said it's virtually limitless on how much data you can push through these pipelines. So we're at no risk whatsoever of what I want to say,
overloading
the hose and all
or
that
becoming
stuff.
Or not having enough gigabytes.
Right.
It's not a limited resource.
Exactly. Exactly. So we have plenty of stuff around there, and it just talked about how charging a dollar per gigabyte is so overwhelmed. You know, he said it doesn't even cost a penny. They were saying it doesn't even cost a penny to produce a gigabyte's worth of data. Mm-hmm. So charging for, you know, $20 or $2 or anything per gigabyte is an exaggeration. And I forget what they called it, a gross overcharging or something like that. But if I can find the quote, I'll find it. But I thought it was a great comment because more people need to be saying that the pipelines aren't the problem. It's not that there's, it's not like, what was the congressman that talked about the series of tubes?
The guy that died, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
From Alaska.
Yes, and talking about the series of tubes and the internet's made up of tubes. It's not made up of tubes. It's made up of digital transmissions, and digital transmissions are ones and zeros, and they don't look like water, and they don't look like electricity. It's information flowing through there, and we've got plenty of pipeline to handle that. We just need to implement the ability to do it. In a lot of cases, the telcos aren't implementing the tools on the ends to make as much transmission as they could because they know that it would drive the competition up and their prices down and things like that. So right now they're kind of sitting where they're at on purpose because it's the most profitable system for them.
Very cool. And I agree with Netflix. I think that's the... They're looking at it in a completely illogical way. So I think that's a...
Did you see, though, that Netflix had a crazy increase in subscribers once they introduced the $7.99 streaming-only plan?
No.
Oh, it was... I'll see if I can find the chart. I don't know exactly. Shares are going crazy now because of the announcement, but... I hate doing a podcast where I sit and look for the story I'm trying to find, but
you gotta take notes.
Yeah,
if you come
I
across these good ones, take
I
notes.
Know. I never know what I'm going to talk about.
Talk it into your drawer.
We'll get it. Yeah, I should.
Now, one thing you and I talked about before we opened up the mics was Google's launch of what they're calling Cloud Print, which is an ability for any smartphone running Android or iPhone app, iOS.
iOS.
Mm-hmm. iOS, the iPhone or the iPad. If you have one of those types of devices, you can download and start trying to use what's called Google Cloud Print that will let you print to any printer that is connected to a Windows computer. And that's kind of a neat thing, and that's just was released this week. In fact, I think it was just a couple days ago. And if you want to go to google.com and just search for that feature, you can. Earlier last fall, with one of their updates, Apple released what they called AirPrint, but it only worked with very specific HP printers that were running wirelessly, so that you had them hooked up to a wireless router. But this AirPrint will print to any brand of computer that's hooked to a Windows computer, or any brand of printer hooked to a Windows computer. So it's kind of interesting. I'm going to try to give that a try maybe next week. Maybe I'll report back and let you know what's going on.
Cool.
But again, to me, even if you look at the new Windows, they call it the Windows Live Essentials,
yes,
which is that kind of crazy,
yeah,
conglomeration of apps that Microsoft put together.
Right.
A lot of my clients who are Outlook Express users in Windows XP are just, they're lost because there's already been two different iterations of the Windows Live Essentials. In the newest one, they at least brought back icons.
Right.
It was kind of a minimalist on the first version, and now they brought back 1,000 icons and a tabbed interface. It's kind of a weird, or a ribbon interface.
Yeah.
But there's no print to be found,
yeah,
on the ribbon, and you can't put it on the ribbon. You have to go to
smart,
a real small little blue box in the upper left-hand corner, and when you click that, that's where the print is.
Nice.
And that's if you forget Control P prints. And
right.
And I had a client yesterday. I have to go to his house today because Control P didn't print for him.
Oh.
I don't know why. So I think he's got something going on.
Yeah.
But anyway, the whole idea, and I try to real subtly tell people this that are printing maniacs, is that the internet and digital media is not made to be printed.
Right.
You don't have to print out every joke that comes through your email.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to try to save ink and save paper and save money, for goodness sakes, by not printing everything. Keep it on your computer. Read it on your computer. Now, I know there are some things people want to print out, every receipt.
Learn how to use bookmarks is one big thing. Because if people, I think one reason that people print it out is so they can find it again.
Yeah.
Right?
Adam, how many times have you gone to people's homes and they can't find what
they're printing? I know they can't. Right. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying.
That's the thought.
You can go to them and say, look, you can find it again if you go to add bookmark, then see it shows up in this list
and insert
it. It's exact, you know, they're going to forget to look in their bookmarks just the same as they're going to forget where they put that joke that they found the other day.
Do you print much? Let me ask you this. Do you print very much?
No.
Yeah.
Only syllabuses and school stuff. Yeah. I hardly print anything.
That you have to hand out to other people. You mean?
No, I will print my own copy.
Okay.
Because
you hang it or something?
I do, or I just sit here and I look through it and I mark it up. Anything I might want to mark up and remember. Then I'll print it out. I'll look through it because it's a little bit easier to take in the house. I don't want to have to turn on my iPad and dig through it. So there are a few things that I print out. But
overall.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about one document every 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's what I was going to say. Because, my printer comes on. I turn it on maybe once every 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
And sometimes I'm turning it on to scan something into my computer so I can then shred the document.
Yeah.
And so I've gone the opposite way. I'm trying to go the opposite way because we do collect a lot of stuff. And then you go through it a year or two later and you say, why did I keep this?
Yeah.
And so think about that when you print. And so printing from a phone or a mobile device just seems counterintuitive to me.
I agree.
But there's still a lot of people out there that like to print.
Yeah.
And boy, the paper companies and ink companies, thank you very much.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's just kind of funny. It always strikes me as funny when we bring out these mobile printing and that kind of thing. Because
I almost wonder if it's spurred by the printing companies.
I think it could be big
ink. I think
ink.
In a lot of ways. Big ink.
Big ink.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Where big consumables are a big deal.
All right.
Netflix jumped 3.3 million subscribers last year.
Wow.
The previous year, it only jumped 1 million subscribers.
So three times.
So it went. Its growth was three times what it was the previous year. 300%.
That is. And they didn't launch that till fall.
Exactly. It was right at the end of the year they launched it. So, and so they're blaming that for a spike. But already Netflix was already way up. I mean, I think last year was the year I subscribed to Netflix. Uh-huh. A lot of people I know subscribed to Netflix last year. So.
And what Adam's talking about is it's $7.99 for any of their digitally delivered programs, and so that would be on your computer if you have a Xbox or if you have a Nintendo
iPad
Wii,
or
any mobile device.
Right.
Does PlayStation do a Netflix? Probably.
Yep. PlayStation does one.
Yeah.
Yep. PlayStation.
And then, of course,
and Wii.
Almost all DVDs, new DVDs, newer DVDs,
have
the ability to do internet and Netflix built in. So
that's
pretty neat. I do have to say that the library is growing. Well, the digital library is growing, but it's still pretty limited.
It's still pretty. I use the TV shows. Me and my kids, we probably watch more TV shows off Netflix than we watch anything else. And a lot of shows are starting to get the most recent episodes on Netflix. Saturday Night Live's doing that. I think Saturday Night Live's doing it. Some of the History Channel shows, they're starting to get them almost up to date to where you can watch a very recent episode.
So yeah, and it makes it between that and between going to the individual networks' websites, there's no reason to watch it on TV anymore. Have you heard, speaking of this digital delivery, and this just reminded me of an article I'm currently reading in Wired.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Adam.
You bet.
Called Spotify. Are you familiar with Spotify?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Spotify is a company out of Sweden, I believe.
Yeah. Now, see, this is funny because the rest of the world, this is one of the few things, the rest of the world knows about Spotify.
Except we don't.
The United States doesn't because of problems. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so what Spotify is a digital music delivery system that came out of Sweden and is basically in, I forget, like 50 countries or something like that, but mostly all over Europe. They have tens of millions of subscribers, and you can listen to any song through any device for free. And the whole idea is that you share, and it's kind of a social networking thing as well, where you can share and find new music from friends and look at other people's music, what they're listening to. And the way they make money is by charging a premium for cutting back on ads, and then being able, one other premium they have is the ability to download any song and keep it on your device so that you can then listen to it when you're not near a network connection. But apparently it's a very addictive service, mm-hmm. and they're showing that with this kind of service, giving away the content actually leads to selling more content,
right?
Because they're finding that more and more people are selling more albums because their content is getting discovered.
Right.
And so the reason this was in the Wired magazine is Spotify wants to bring this service to the United States because they know it would be a huge boon. And they think that they could even convert more subscribers in the United States,
sure.
because we like our music. We're yeah. used to paying for music.
Right.
And but the powers that be in the big music the music labels,
yeah.
don't want to do it.
Big music. Yeah. No, it's real. I've read a couple articles over the last couple of days about that, just because it's been in the headlines so much with Spotify and the iPhone. A lot of things are causing it, that the music industry is not hurting. It's not failing. There's more music being sold than ever. One of the big problems that with the thing the music industry doesn't like is everything's being sold on a song by song basis,
right.
and artists can take control of their own stuff a whole lot easier. And that's actually where the political rift takes place.
And it's that's not happening in the United States because the labels aren't, they're yeah. not, they're not keeping up with the times. And so there was a big group, wasn't the Black Eyed Peas, but it was another big group, I can't think of their name, a few months ago,
uh-huh.
where they released their entire album for free,
yeah.
on the web,
yep.
and it was just kind of an experiment.
I would think Radiohead did that at some point.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Is that who it was? Yeah, Radiohead.
I don't know why I got the.
No, that's okay.
I don't know why I got them confused.
Very different from the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, very different, but I think they're even different coasts, but. But yeah, and they said it was a tremendous hit because they sold more albums and continue to sell more albums of that particular album than they had any previous album.
They probably got a bigger cut from every album that sold as mm-hmm. well.
I think they might have broke from their label and did yeah. their own thing.
Yeah.
And that's what the labels are going to find out, is that people will find a way to do what they think is going to be the best way to deliver their content.
Well, I have a teenage daughter, and I can tell you that a big part of it too has to be the state of music right now.
Mm-hmm.
That most music that's on the radio can be produced on an iMac and with an auto tuner.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing there. You sample somebody else's song,
yeah.
you speed it up or slow it down, you sing the same chorus over and over and over again, and you add a little beat.
Yeah.
Every song has that formula to it.
What they're doing right now?
Oh, there's no bands. With very, very, very few exceptions. There's no bands out
and
there.
Those
Train,
are the
I think,
are right
is singing.
Now.
You know, they have a band, but
Jackson still singing.
Michael Jackson actually just came out with another album.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, right at Christmas time. Yeah,
cool.
Believe it or not, it's pretty amazing. He's like Tupac
from Beyond.
Oh yeah, just like Tupac. Just every week there's a new Tupac album, or featuring Tupac.
I did exaggerate just a little. I'm not normally an exaggerator.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying that with my tongue.
I know what you mean. I got you.
Spotify is currently not in 50 or 60 countries. It's in seven.
It's in seven, really, seven countries with 50 or 60 districts. So
per country.
So it
thank
is
you
a lot of,
me,
you bet, no
me
problem. There's a lot of provinces, states, things like that, that they're in.
Warshires.
Yeah.
Finland, France, Norway, Wards. Netherlands, Spain, Sweden, and the UK.
Which is cool because it's a European country.
Yeah.
A lot of times when people get stuff before us, mm-hmm. it's...
Germany's not in there. They're conspicuously missing.
That's kind of weird. Well, Germany's got a lot of laws.
Poland.
It definitely won't be in Australia.
It's not in Poland.
Yeah, but anyway, usually it's Asia that gets to something before we do. But
they might have their own thing, I wonder.
Asia usually... The thing with Asia is their stuff never catches on here because we think it's weird. There's a lot of weird stuff in Asia.
Well, and we do have to say that it can just not globally, but Asia is very good about spreading the ability to pirate.
Yeah, that's true.
Very
too.
Heavily.
Yeah.
So they get a lot of stuff for no cost.
Yeah.
You just figure out where to find it, go on a street corner, and you're going to find Tupac's latest
there
CD
go.
For
there it is.
A couple pence.
the Taiwan pence.
Okay, let's go to another email. This one's from Jane in Carbondale.
Okay.
And she's also using Windows 7. She said she went from XP to Windows 7. She has a Kodak digital camera, which she likes, but now Kodak says I cannot upgrade the program that I installed because the camera is too old and the upgrade is not compatible with Windows 7. I have tried downloading a new program that doesn't work. If I download Picasa for my photo needs, will this work just as well with my camera? I may not need to buy a new one. That was a question. Mm-hmm. I lost all my programs along with my pictures off the Windows. How'd she lose her pictures? This lady needs somebody to help her. Jane, Picasa will work 1,000 times better, and I'm not exaggerating, than Kodak. The Kodak software is very cumbersome.
Yes.
And very slow.
Right.
And not very intuitive.
I'm surprised. It must be an old digital camera.
I'm assuming if, yeah, they didn't have the new.
I would bet.
Does and she, the older software.
No, I missed the first part of the question. She's running
She
Picasa?
Moved from XP to 7.
Okay.
And she was using Kodak software, but they don't have it for Windows 7.
Oh, okay. So really.
So she's wondering, will Picasa work?
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. And yeah. I don't know why she lost her pictures.
Yes.
Yeah, hopefully she didn't really lose her pictures. But
they're probably still on your computer, Jane.
If they did,
you need to find a computer guy that can actually help you.
Yeah. Or install Picasa and see what Picasa finds. You may find out you still have your pictures.
Now, see, here's an email that I just don't understand why people don't read my site, and it's hard. I can understand why there are certain companies and lots of people that get misquoted. Because here's Nancy from Delta. Just wanted to give me a heads up to see if you have any recommendations for my situation. Your website recommends using CNET to download AVG 2011 free edition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how many people listening can find something wrong with that first statement? My website recommends using CNET to download AVG 2011 free.
First, you didn't recommend AVG
That's
2011.
Right. I no longer recommend that. And so she's not reading the site. She said, just 2 days ago, I went had a brand new HP Windows 7. There's another misnomer. No, Windows 7, I clearly mark out, use Microsoft Security Essentials. And it was my mother's computer, and I could not figure out how this could happen because AVG. Oh, and she ended up with 7 viruses. I believe she had HP Helper. Now I downloaded it to my daughter's school computer to replace her 2009 version. I did this again off the CNET download. Now her computer is showing the same signs my parents' computer had. So just by accident, because of the same symptoms on the two computers, I think I have found viruses on the AVG 2011 free or CNET free. I thought you should know this as you refer people to CNET. I contacted AVG, but I don't think they are taking me too seriously. And Nancy, I'm not taking you very seriously either because there are no viruses in the program. That doesn't occur.
Right.
And just as we've talked about many times and have written about many times on the website that you purport to read, is that there is no way that any product is going to protect you from anything if you let it in. If you go out and are searching for free kitty cat screensavers, and I do have to say this person sounds like she may be a kitty cat screensaver person. If you're searching... Adam's incredulous.
You're not worried at all that she'll listen to this, I can tell. So go ahead.
No, that's fine. I hope she listens.
Yeah,
I am talking directly to Nancy.
You.
I'm talking directly to Nancy. Any security product is not going to protect you from yourself. That's the bottom line. And so you can't blame CNET. You can't blame AVG. Because if you've downloaded the product that you, again, purported to download, you've got it installed properly, it should protect you from the normal stuff. But again, unfortunately, you haven't been to the site recently because AVG has not been recommended for many, many months. And for Windows 7, which has been out over a year, and Vista for almost 3 years, but since Microsoft Security Essentials came out 2 years ago, you would have noticed that that was my product of choice for newer computers. So thanks for writing, but please read carefully. Read carefully. That's one thing I do notice with a great deal of computer users, they don't like to read.
Yeah.
They print.
Yeah.
But they're not reading what they print.
Right. And
they're glancing and they're glazing over things.
Because we've been doing helpmerick.com for so long.
It's very old.
When you do a search, read the stuff that's the newest first.
Yes.
And that could be her problem. She
not
could have.
No, she's looking for 2011.
You're right. You're right. Yeah.
You're trying to help bail her out, but
I was trying
no
to find some way that maybe she misinterpreted it. But
you thought
if
I was
she would
being
have read
rough
it, she would
her.
Have been fine. No, no, I think you're fair. I just was trying to, you know, I always try to see it from both sides, but you're right. She's wrong. So let's, you know, Facebook, I don't get it. Facebook has just made changes to their account settings.
Okay.
Forever. For, I don't know for how long.
Did
I've
they
read
do it again just
for like
recently?
Three or four, yeah, just, well, not for the appearance, but oh. They've added the...
you mean the security?
They've added the SSL security
oh.
ability on there.
Okay.
Forever, people have been saying Facebook needs to up its security. The thing is, Facebook is secure. If you don't give away your username and password, you're pretty much okay. However, there is a small ability that if you're in a coffee shop using it on an open Wi-Fi network, there's an ability for people or somebody taps into your internet, but I don't worry about that as much. But if you're out there at a coffee shop open, there is the ability that people have to be able to jump kind of into the stream and be able to get in and hack into your Facebook account. It exists.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for
it. I'm not doing it, but there are, it does happen. So people have been upset about this for a long time. Why doesn't Facebook fix this problem? Well, this week, Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook account or his fan page got hacked, mm-hmm. and somebody took control of it. And so immediately, within a day of that happening, mm-hmm. Facebook introduces SSL security, which I think is really funny.
You don't think that's just coincidence?
I think it probably is. Anyway, but they finally decided to make the change. But I've been trying to figure out where to turn that on. I've been following the instructions. So it must not be available for all users yet. But I'd recommend that people go into their account settings and then their security settings and turn on that SSL security, especially if you use the use Facebook in coffee shops or use it at work or something like that. So,
oh, I was just denied entry into my settings. Access denied. You do not have permission to go to HTTPS edit your account.
That's spooky.
That's kind of spooky. I got a big red dot.
Should try it again?
I'm going to try it again.
Weird. Now, the one feature I do like in the Facebook account settings, and I'll bring this up. I mention this every time I talk about Facebook, but I do like if you go into your account settings and into... Well, if you just go into account settings and
privacy,
then account security. Go into account security. That's where the SSL is supposed to be. I don't have it yet. But the other thing you can do in there is you can look and see where you're logged on.
I can't get into account settings.
Oh my gosh. You're in trouble.
I've been hacked.
Yeah, I guess so.
Adam, you just hacked me.
I'll have to log in for you and see what we can find. anyway, what I'm getting to is you go into your account settings and
Should I stop interrupting you?
No, that's okay. Go into the account security, okay. And you can see all the places that you're logged in, and you can log yourself out. So it's very, very handy if you check your Facebook at school or at work or something like that, or on somebody's mobile device or at an airport or at a library. You just want to make sure that you logged out of everywhere. You can go in there and just log yourself out so that nobody can use that.
Yeah, I did this on Firefox and Google Chrome trying to get into my account settings. So it must be there's updating certain accounts
must
right
be.
Now.
Let's hope. That's weird.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So I went to Firefox thinking it might be a Chrome deal, but...
Strange.
It says the connection is untrusted.
Wow. I hope you haven't been hacked.
Well, I think because it's so new. Okay, there. Now
Now you're in.
Well, I created an exception. I had to create an exception.
Oh, okay. And now it's letting you in?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe. See, now, I don't understand. I'm looking here, Adam. I don't see where the security is, what you're talking
Go
about.
Go to account settings.
That's where I am.
Okay, and then scroll down, and you'll see account security.
Ah.
Right there. Click on
Login
there.
Login alert.
There you go. That's where I've heard that your SSL is going to be enabled. But
yeah, not there for me
yet. I don't have it there. Maybe they're going to put it someplace else, but that's where the notes I read said it would be located. But it is nice to be able to see where you're logged in and all that and log yourself out.
I'm logged in and in Adam's Talking yes. Digital podcast studio here today.
Right.
And he's using Bresnan. And so it says that my location this morning is approximately Billings, Montana.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it always says that
if
for
we were
president.
Using AOL, it'd say we were approximately in Virginia.
Yeah, that's it. Approximately.
Approximately. Very approximately.
Within 1,000 miles.
So anyway, all right. So that's good. Good.
You got
good,
any more
good
emails?
Information to know. Good information to know. Yeah, let's do a few more emails and
okay.
See what happens. Here's John from Illinois. Why didn't you tell everyone that if AVG crashes, AVG will not help you?
Oh.
Now I have to start over the new hard drive. Best to pay than be free.
What?
I'm not even answering that question. John from Illinois. Yeah, I'm not even answering that question. Okay.
If you have a major virus on your computer.
We're not going to answer that
there's
question.
There's no guarantees. Go ahead.
That's just ridiculous. That's just one of the most ridiculous emails. That's almost more ridiculous than Sandy's.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I like getting emails when people think that it's always easy to blame the other person.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
I have broad shoulders. Well, I've been throughout my life, I always have said I've got broad shoulders. It's just my answer to stupidity.
Every computer guy gets used to the phone call that starts with, ever since you've been to my house, blah, 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 blah. My computer is not the sub blah, blah, blah. Every just, computer guy, no matter how good you are.
But just yesterday happened. I had a client. One thing I've learned, too, over the years is you don't respond to voicemails immediately.
Right.
Because usually within a half an hour, you're going to get a second voicemail that says, please disregard my first voicemail.
I just was pushing the left mouse button instead of the right. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a guy yesterday who said I had to get a virus off his computer. Spyware, actually. And so he called 2 days later, and he says, still not fixed because my keyboard's not working all of a sudden. Uh-huh. This is a voicemail. So
right.
I was in with another client. I answer my phone if
right.
I'm at my phone.
Right.
So I get that call. And then 5 minutes later, I see he called in again. And so I always know what that second call is uh-huh. without even looking at the first
yeah.
one. So the second call does say, oh, disregard the first one. Something... He said, I figured about what it was with the keyboard or whatever. I don't know if he had a wireless keyboard. I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
Bottom line was, they, like you mentioned, started out by, oh, computer's not fixed yet.
Yeah.
You know, 2 days later. I've been using it for 2 days, but it's still not fixed.
Right.
And, but then he gets a call, so it's pretty funny.
My favorite one is like when they're typing in their, just for an example, typing in their username and password. My password isn't working. Well, is your caps lock on? No, my caps lock's not on. Are you sure your caps lock? Yeah, my caps lock. No. Like, okay, all right. Well, you know, and I used to set up the appointment with them and so on. And then they'd call back later and just say, oh, never mind. I figured it out. And they won't tell you what it was. And you know that it was just their caps lock was on, that they didn't want to try that or something. Anyway,
while we're on it,
is
here,
it plugged in?
I had another client yesterday using an Apple computer.
Yeah.
And they have an external hard drive. They're using Time Machine.
Right.
So they've been emailing me for 2 or 3 months and saying, my Time Machine's not working. And so that's all I get in email.
Right.
So I write back and say, what does that mean? Give me some information. Did your hard drive fall on the floor? Do you know what Time Machine is? What error are you getting? So finally they wrote back and they said it's getting an error. And then so I had to pump them for information. What's the error? Finally the error I got back was it couldn't communicate with the hard drive.
Right.
So I said, oh, that's simple. Follow the cables from the back of the hard drive. It's the little box next to your printer. Follow it to your computer, make sure it's plugged in tight, even unplug it and replug it in, and then also follow the power cable from the back of the... There's only two cables yeah. in an external hard drive. Follow the cable from it to the power source, make sure it's plugged in on both ends and on both sides. Another couple weeks go by. Can you please come out and check this? It's still not working. So I walk in there yesterday. I said, did you
right.
unplug
did
the
you
hard
do the
drive?
Stuff I told you, yeah.
No, I was afraid to. So... So yeah. I unplugged the hard drive, plugged it back in, and it worked.
Yep.
And so it's kind of like the caps lock.
Yep.
Anyway. Ah, the life of a computer
That's
guy.
That's how it works. Yeah.
And then I charged him $150. No, yeah. I didn't do that.
You know, not like that. Most would.
A lot would. There's a lot of people that would. Okay, here's an email from Sandy in Colorado. Microsoft will not open any attachments or my pictures anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This just started. Microsoft has got a vendetta against her.
Microsoft won't do it.
I spoke to someone.
Oh.
And they said to right-click on the pic and open it with the Microsoft Pic Viewer. There is not an option for that. Only Microsoft Works and Microsoft Works Word Processor. Hope you can help. It is a JPEG. Well... This is one of those situations, Sandy, where I don't have enough information. You said Microsoft won't open your attachments. She is using Vista. Okay. So I don't know if she's using Hotmail. I don't know if she's using Windows Live Essentials, like we just talked about a few minutes ago, for
that,
email.
That thing Bresnan calls email?
Yeah, I don't know if she's using a web-based mail. I don't know if she's using Firefox, Explorer. I can tell you that if you want to make sure that all JPEGs open up with the Microsoft Picture Viewer, you can go to your My Pictures folder. So go to Start, click on Pictures, right-click on any photo in your Picture folder, and click Open With. And then under the Open With, you can choose the program.
Yeah, but don't. Don't do it there.
Why not?
Because then it'll just open that one picture with it.
No, no. There'll be an option that says, use this program, always use this program, when you do the Open With.
Oh, I see. If you do Choose Program.
Right.
But if you don't say Choose Program and you just click on the program.
Because Windows Vista has the
Windows
list.
Windows Vista gives you a little list of programs that can open with. So you want to say Choose Program.
Open With, Choose Program.
That's it.
That's it. And then make sure the box is checked that says always use. Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Adam. And that at least will make sure that all your JPEGs open with the Picture Viewer, which is the recommended way. It's the fastest way on Windows computers. And try that to begin with. But otherwise, we would need a few more details.
Right.
Very good. Holy mackerel.
What's up?
This is a good question here. Look, this is from Bill Collins in Illinois. He sent me the specs of his new.
Now is this a good computer or is this a?
I don't know. Let's see. He's got a new computer.
Something probably
from Dell. It's got a terabyte hard drive.
Basically, I'll just describe the email. It's a long. It's what you would get if you ordered
8 gigs
a computer.
Of RAM.
It's what you'd get
an
if you
i7 core.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead.
He bought a beast computer, but basically it's what you would get if you got a receipt for every little item that you purchased in your computer. That's what he sent us. So now you know what we're looking at. Is the question.
You're going to love the question.
I'm already.
So Adam described to you that he bought an animal computer. The computer is
8 gigs of RAM and i7 processor.
Yeah,
if this was a Mac, it would be about $8,000.
It's a state-of-the-art computer.
Right. If it's a PC, you're talking about $1,000.
So that's what he starts out as. Yeah. And then my main question is this. I have been using AOL for the past 15 years.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
I love that opening after this massive, powerful computer that says I've used AOL.
I bet his thinking was, because I don't want to have to buy another one just 15 years from now.
And he says, and I hate it now because it's got tabbed browsing and it's slow email sending and opening 9.6 and 9.5.
Yeah.
And this guy apparently doesn't read the website either because we've been railing against the slowness of AOL for 12 years.
Yeah.
He says,
I wonder if he's still paying $27.99.
Yeah, he probably is. I recently downloaded Gmail and have my AOL emails transferred to them. Is there a way to get a Gmail icon on my desktop? Right now, I have AOL's tabbed browsing as my homepage, and I want to get rid of that altogether. Any suggestions? Lastly, I'm currently using Norton from my ISP and was considering upgrading. It appears that you're not a fan of Norton.
Yes.
Is it just the free versions or all of them? There are no free versions of Norton, by the way. I am willing to pay for a premium service. Okay. So the opening statement was very funny because it's a very super powerful computer, and he bought the 3-year warranty and the 3-year accidental damage warranty.
Wow. Is it a laptop or
it's a desktop. Yeah, it's a desktop.
It's an i7. Yeah.
It's got a 17.3-inch HD WLED TL. That's kind of interesting. It's funny it's only a 17-inch monitor. You don't even see that very often. But anyway, good news is he's moving to Gmail. But he would like to have a Gmail icon. And he'd like to get rid of AOL. So he's done good things. He's done some
doing
very good
the right things.
So the best thing to do, Bill, is go to, on your Windows 7 computer, you're going to go to Start, Control Panel, Uninstall a Program. Or the beautiful thing on Windows 7, if you just click the Start button and type Uninstall, you'll see that the Control Panel Uninstall Program utility comes up right away.
What I'm wondering is whether we want him to uninstall that yet, because what if he has contacts and stuff like that in AOL that he wants to move over?
It sounds like he's moved him, though.
Oh, he's already done that. Okay, good.
Into Gmail. So,
good. Then you're on the right track.
Adam's correct. If has a good point. If you have not done that, and the good news is if he's got his email.
You really won't lose it anyway, because you can go to AOL.com and still log in that way.
That's true.
Too.
But if he's sucked in his email, I'm sure Gmail asks, do you want me to suck in your email and your contacts?
Good.
And
okay.
So it should do that. So I would remove the AOL software altogether and then download and use either Google Chrome. Mm-hmm. And you can go to that by going to google.com/Chrome. You'll be light years faster than your AOL.
Right.
Or Firefox. If you go to firefox.com, you can download it as well. And use either one of those. Then to create an icon for your Gmail, just navigate to your Gmail on either one of your browsers, whatever you end up choosing. And then click the little icon next to the Gmail address in the address bar and drag it to your desktop.
Yep. Just a click and hold and drag it up. Yep.
And as far as the Norton, for Windows 7, we really like the Microsoft Security Essential. So even if your cable provider is giving you Norton, I would recommend removing
it. Or if it came free with your computer or anything, take Norton off of there. You need to get all the you want to get all the power you can out of that monster computer there.
And I'm surprised that's
take Norton out of there and you'll be doing well.
And how much of a condemnation is that for AOL that even on an i7 processor with 8 gigs of RAM that their AOL software is still slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
There you go. Now, the other thing, too, I would like to just mention to him, if he does listen to the show, is tab browsing, give it a chance. Now, the AOL tab browser, I can understand if you hate that. No problems there. But try Chrome or Firefox, and any of them now do it. And really have somebody show you how to use tabbed browsing. Because tabbed browsing has a lot of features once you learn how to use it. It speeds everything up. It makes it a lot faster because you can have a one page loading while you're looking at another page. You can open links in the background so that you don't have to be staring at whatever you clicked on the link. If you're reading a story and just want to read about a link later, you can do that. There's a whole lot of advantages to having that tabbed browsing. So.
Absolutely. And you can watch a video on tab browsing at helpmerick.com.
Yeah. Very cool.
Well, what do you think, Adam? Should we call it and wrap it up
good.
For this week?
I think that's a good good place to end the show.
Any other news items?
Tech news doesn't stop happening. Oh, nothing big. I think we can cover all the rest of the stuff I was going to talk about. In a future show, we'll talk about the comparison between the iPhone on AT&T and the iPhone on Verizon, what features are difference in prices, things like that. But it's not coming out for another couple weeks, so
February 11th
and February, something.
I did see a neat graphic last night, Adam. I should have forwarded it to you. It's for those of us that are smartphone users, I guess we're always aware that there's a lot of smartphone people out there because we have our smartphones. But they had a graphic that showed AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, and Verizon, and showed how many what the percentage of smartphone users are to non-smartphone users. And for AT&T or for Sprint, Verizon, and let's go Sprint and Verizon. Sprint had over 100 million subscribers. I'm sorry, I'll go back. Verizon had over 100 million subscribers. Less than 10 million of those, or might even been more than that, less than 10 million of those were smartphone subscribers. AT&T has similar subscribership as Verizon, but only about 5 to 6 million general smartphone users, mm-hmm. but another 15 to 20 million iPhone users.
Wow.
So they had maybe 25-30% of their total subscribership were smartphone users.
Uh-huh.
But a great deal of those were iPhone users.
Right.
Sprint has like 60 to 70 million, I think, subscribers. And again, a real small slice of the pie were smartphone. Same thing with T-Mobile.
Right.
So it was really interesting to me that smartphones still aren't anywhere near,
right.
not even a half or even a third of the major cell providers.
Wow.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. But it's growing. We all know it's growing.
However, they say that, and I think they're talking about Android, BlackBerry, and an iPhone.
Correct.
Because, but at the same time, if you go in and you buy a phone with Symbian on it, which mm-hmm. is Nokia or something like that, a lot mm-hmm. of these phones now, even the Samsungs that aren't running on Androids or whatever, they still do email. They still have a digital camera built in. So, I mean, actually walking in and saying, I just want a phone that has a dial pad on it and...
That's harder and harder.
And no touch screen. It's getting to be almost impossible. And, you know, so I think what it is, smartphones are getting smarter, and so we're changing the definition of smartphone to being something that runs on an operating system and can be hacked and all that stuff, because really every phone that you pick out right now, few phones aren't what I would cut. I mean, they all are equal to what the original Palm cell phones were. So
I agree.
Anyway, and those are smartphones.
Now, real quick, one last thing, though. Adam went to a website. I think we went straight to Apple, didn't you?
I did, but Apple took the page with the date off, but I found it on Mashable. The date that the Verizon iPhone comes out is February 10th.
February 10th.
Unless you're diehard willing to spend the night outside of a Verizon store or wherever they're going to release it, I think you're going to be getting one in March or April, maybe. But
you think they'll have a backlog?
I think it's going to be really hard to get a hold of them. Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah,
but they did just real quickly here before we end the show to show how popular they are.
Mm-hmm.
Apple announced last week that they had their 10 billionth download from the iTunes Store.
That's right. I was going to talk about that. Just, I forgot.
Yeah, 10 billion, and they had hit 1 billion. With it took them, I think, almost 15 months to get to 1 billion.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
And then it's just been growing exponentially since then. But now they've had 10 billion.
Did you see the thing? No,
that's what I wanted to bring up.
Go ahead. You probably have the date in front of you or the number in front of you.
No, go ahead.
Oh, they were saying by 2014, mm-hmm. they expect it to be like 185 billion downloads.
That's amazing. I mean, that's 1 billion is a huge number.
You got to consider that the App Store is no longer the iPhone.
Right.
It's the iPad and the Mac now, too. Right. And pretty soon, who knows what? They might come up with a little app that lets you run it in the Windows.
It was smart to do it on the Mac.
Yeah.
That was a good move.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for people to find Mac software. I think that's going to help build mm-hmm. the Mac even more.
Absolutely.
But did you saw that they were having a promotion leading up to the 10 billion downloads uh-huh. that whoever downloaded the 10 billionth app was going to win a $10,000 iTunes gift card?
Yeah, see, I didn't hear what the prize was going to be.
Yeah,
so
it was $10,000,
cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, That's like having, we talk about Spotify through iTunes. She could buy all the Beatles apps. But so a lady won it, I think, in California. I forget where she's from. But she got a call from the Apple representative, and she hung up on them. Did you hear about this?
No.
Yeah, she hung up on them because she thought it was a solicitor.
Right.
And so they called her back and kind of quickly got under, you know, told her what happened. Then she finally, you know, relented and got it. But yeah, apparently it was all over the news this week that the 10,000th or the 10 billionth download winner from Apple almost didn't win her prize because she hung up on Apple.
Wow.
So it was kind of funny.
That's crazy.
So anyway, we'll end it on there. And Adam, thanks once again for hosting the podcast.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk with you very, very soon. And I do real quickly, one last thing, one little detail here. At helpmerick.com, I finally put a listen page.
Oh.
So if you click listen, and the very top of the screen, it gives you our schedule.
Ooh.
It gives you links to our Twitter sites. It gives you links to the podcast.
Okay, now that you've got that, I got to go get the webcam so we can get our Ustream going.
Okay. We've listened. I've got the listen links. It's got a link to the KFM website for people that can't listen to us live when we're doing our two live shows every month. You can listen live via the web, via streaming.
Very
cool.
So
I've got that all on there, finally.
Nice.
And I did that with my new MacBook Air Wi-Fi from a closed coffee shop.
Very good.
In between clients.
Very good.
Very nice.
Cool.
So thank you, Apple. Thank you, closed coffee shop. And thanks for listening to this podcast, and we'll talk with you soon.